Welcome to The Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church. Today we're wrestling with a question that echoes through the ages. How do we truly align our lives with God's purpose? We've got an incredible source today, part 7 of Pastor Tim Pravis's sermon series, Old Paths, New Purpose, focusing specifically on the will of God.
That's right. Pastor Travis tackles the often elusive concept of God's will, drawing primarily from Romans chapter 12 and 1 Peter chapter 4. Our mission is to unpack his framework, understand the core characteristics of this divine purpose, and discover how we can practically identify and, well, embrace it in our everyday lives. It seems less about finding some kind of hidden map and more about a transformative journey of submission and discovery.
Okay, so let's dive right into how Pastor Travis sets the stage for understanding God's will. He opens by emphasizing that submitting to God's will is a great desire for the Lord. And he makes it clear that the very first step, well, it's salvation itself. He immediately points us to Romans 12:1-2. A really powerful passage, isn't it? It sort of sets the stage for a complete reorientation.
Absolutely. It's fundamental.
It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Right, reasonable service.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
And what's truly compelling here is how Pastor Travis then connects this foundational passage in Romans to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2.
Okay.
Where Peter says, we should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Mm. And this raises such an important question, doesn't it? If we're meant to live out the rest of our time on earth in God's will, what does that actually look like?
Yeah, how do we grasp that?
How do we even begin to grasp its characteristics? It's not just some vague spiritual concept floating out there. He presents it as something tangible, something we can understand and actually pursue.
And Pastor Travis really breaks this down for us. He uses some very specific, almost actionable words to describe God's will. He calls it holy, acceptable, good, provable, and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He even creates that memorable acronym GAP for good, acceptable, and perfect.
Right, GAP. It's a handy way to remember those core ideas.
It is, and it opens up this fascinating look at what provable truly means in our lives. Let's start there. He highlights that God's will isn't some elusive mystery. He emphatically says it's provable.
Yes.
What exactly does he mean by that? Something you can test.
Well, this is a crucial distinction he makes. He uses that comparison, remember? Like an employer who gives you a task, but no clear instructions or the right tools.
Right. You're set up to fail. Very frustrating.
Exactly. Immense frustration. But in stark contrast, Pastor Travis asserts that God clearly defines what he expects. There's no ambiguity there, at least not in the foundational things. His point is, we won't stand before him at judgment and say, well, I didn't know what to do.
Okay.
He stresses that the Bible, the book, as he puts it, removes all excuses. It's not about ignorance, you see. It's more about our willingness to actually engage with the instructions he's already given.
So it's not just proving God exists, but proving his principles work.
Precisely. It's observing the consistent, maybe even measurable impact of aligning your choices with his principles. Pastor Travis is kind of calling us to active experimentation in faith. The results might not always be what we expect, maybe not material wealth, but they always reveal something about God's character or maybe our own growth.
That's a key point. He even references Malachi chapter 3, doesn't he? The part where God says, prove me now herewith. Specifically about tithing.
Yes, he does. It's presented almost like an open invitation from God himself to test his faithfulness.
And Pastor Travis emphasizes you can't outgive God. The blessings aren't just financial, right?
Exactly. He suggests they might manifest in health or your children's well-being, things like that. It's holistic, proving his provision across your whole life, not just your bank account.
So he's really challenging us to a more active faith then.
Absolutely. And he points out how powerfully people often prove God, or at least reach out, in times of intense crisis.
Oh, yeah, the examples he gave.
Right. Atheists in cancer wards, or parents in the NICU with their babies, soldiers in foxholes, suddenly turning to prayer. He suggests this shows an innate recognition of, well, a higher power when we face overwhelming circumstances.
Which raises that question.
Why wait? Why wait for the crisis to acknowledge the provable nature of God? If his reality becomes so undeniable in our darkest hours, why not, proactively seek to prove his will in the everyday before the storm hits?
And he doesn't shy away from personal accountability either. He brings up 2 Corinthians 13.5. Examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. He directly challenges that idea that just showing up at church proves anything about salvation. That anecdote he used was, frankly, chilling.
The serial killer one. Yes, very stark.
Regularly attending church, saying the right things on Sunday while doing horrific things during the week, it really makes you think about outward appearances versus inner reality.
And that's precisely his point. It underscores that this isn't about mere outward show or, you know, religious rituals. It's about demonstrating true transformative faith, being real children of God in every area of life, not just for an hour on Sunday. The real proof, he implies, is internal genuine repentance, the daily walk. If God's will is provable, then it's provable in us, through our character, our choices, not just circumstances changing around us.
Okay, so God's will is provable, we can see its results. How does Pastor Travis then describe its inherent nature? He says it's good, but maybe not good as we usually define it.
That's right. Moving to good, Pastor Travis states God's will is inherently good because it leads to the best possible outcome for our lives. But crucially, this isn't about worldly success, as we often define it. You know, money, nice things, status.
Right.
Rather, he defines the best outcome as living a morally upright life, serving Christ, being faithful, and then, ultimately, entering the Lord's presence after death. That, from God's eternal perspective, is the ultimate good.
And this good isn't based on our human standards, is it? Our standards often prioritize comfort, happiness, health, avoiding any kind of suffering.
Exactly. Our idea of good can be very, well, self-centered sometimes.
But Pastor Travis says it's good according to his standard, which requires what he calls a crucified life, which historically isn't about physical suffering per se, but that daily dying to self-will, right? So God's will can live through us.
Precisely. It's about aligning our desires with his, even when that means embracing discomfort or sacrifice, letting go of our definition of good. He points back to Genesis 1, where God keeps declaring his creation good. It's good from his divine perspective. Yeah. He's not asking for opinions. He's stating his perfect assessment.
That makes sense. And this idea of pleasing God above all else. You mentioned 2 Timothy.
Yes, chapter 2. Paul tells Timothy, a soldier endures hardship, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The focus is solely on pleasing God, not seeking human approval, not prioritizing personal comfort, not even swayed by the opinions of others. It's a singular dedication. It underscores that even hardship can be good if it serves his purpose and pleases him.
Which then leads to that clarification he makes about Romans 8.28. That's such a well-known verse.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that all things work together for good.
To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Right. And he specifically warns this promise isn't for just everybody, is it?
No, he's quite clear on that. It's not a universal blanket promise for all humanity. It's specifically for those who love God and are aligned with his purpose. He pushes back against ideas like humanism or maybe some forms of paganism where people think everything will just work out because they're inherently good or they're their own judge. No, this promise is conditional. It's rooted in a relationship with God and a commitment to his call.
It's not a free pass then. It's an assurance for those actually walking with him.
Exactly. And to illustrate this good fight further, Pastor Travis reflects on Paul's declaration near the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4.7. I have fought a good fight.
Yeah, thinking about Paul's life,
It's
hard to imagine calling that good from a human perspective.
Right. Beatings, imprisonment, shipwrecks, adrift at sea. Yet facing execution, he looks back and calls it good. Why? Because he kept the faith. Pastor Travis describes this as a constant struggle, like a relentless tug of war.
Pulling that rope.
Yes. Enduring the constant pull of sin, financial worries, emotional stress, just daily irritations, all of it. It highlights that God's will is good even amidst profound hardship, because the fight itself, when fought in faith, is good in God's eyes. It leads to that eternal outcome. It's about enduring well.
That idea of God's will being good, even with hardship, is definitely perspective shifting. But then Pastor Travis introduces another characteristic, acceptable. What does he mean by that? Is it just that God finds it pleasing?
Well, yes, partly. He describes it as a fulfilling endeavor, something that truly pleases God because it represents our submission and leads to growth and obedience. But importantly, he clarifies that acceptable also means we're able to handle it.
Oh, okay. That's significant.
It is, because so many people fear God's will, don't they? They worry it'll be overwhelming or it'll strip them of their dreams. Maybe they think, oh, God will call me to be a missionary somewhere. I don't want to go and I'll lose everything I care about.
That's a common fear, yeah, that it's too hard, too extreme.
Exactly. And that fear can keep people from even seeking his will. But Pastor Travis reassures us it's within our capacity. It's not some divine imposition designed to crush us, but a path we are actually equipped to walk.
So what does this mean for us then, practically, if we're anxious about it being too much?
He explains that God doesn't necessarily strip away our desires or skills, but rather enhances them for his will. Your medical background, for instance, or maybe you're a pilot. Those things can be used by God, transformed into tools for his purposes.
So he works with who we are.
That seems to be the idea. And he says that being in God's will brings that peace that passes understanding, not a fleeting happiness based on circumstances, but a consistent, steady peace, one that remains even in the darkest hours, the hardest times.
A deep, abiding contentment.
Yes, a quiet confidence that you are where you're meant to be, doing what you're meant to do. That's part of what makes it acceptable. It fits, it brings peace, it's manageable through his strength.
Provable, good, acceptable. And the last one, perfect.
Perfect. And again, he clarifies the biblical meaning here. Perfect often means complete or mature, not necessarily sinless or faultless as we might use it today.
Like without any flaws at all.
Right. He uses the analogy of a perfect circle, meaning a completed circle, not an incomplete arc, but whole, finished, lacking nothing essential for its suitableness. So when Pastor Travis says God's will is perfect, he means it brings a profound sense of completeness to your life.
So nothing essential is missing.
Exactly. It brings profound contentment. You don't feel like you're constantly missing out or wondering if you should be somewhere else. It settles your heart. He points to Jesus' own example in John 4.34, where Jesus says, "My meat, my sustenance, my fulfillment is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work."
Wow. Finding fulfillment not in earthly things, but in completing God's work.
That's the model, isn't it? And in John 8.29, Jesus says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Even Jesus, the God-man, submitted his will to the Father. We see it most dramatically in Gethsemane, right? "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done."
A total submission.
Yes. And this demonstrates that God's will is truly completing, fulfilling, providing everything needed, even for Christ himself. It's presented as the ultimate pathway to a life of purpose, peace, and, well, perfection in that sense of completeness.
Okay, so we've explored these characteristics: provable, good, acceptable, perfect, the GAP will of God. But how do we actually get into it? How do we access this?
Yeah, the practical steps.
Pastor Travis brings it back to that series title, Old Path with a New Purpose. He emphasizes returning to God's original way, not conforming to the world's patterns. It's a conscious choice, isn't it?
Very much so. He identifies two key steps to actively enter God's will. First, presentation.
From Romans 12.1 again.
Exactly. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. He calls this an oxymoron because, well, sacrifices were usually dead things on an altar.
Right.
But here, it's about being alive, fully submitted, yet fully usable by God. Our hands, our eyes, ears, mind, our whole body, everything dedicated to his purpose. It's offering all of ourselves, recognizing that our physical self, our choices, our actions are what we can actually control and offer up. It's a complete handover.
And he links this presentation to humility, which I found really insightful.
Yes, that was powerful. He notes how many great figures in the Bible, Abraham, Moses, Esther, Ruth, started with this sense of inadequacy. Me. I'm nobody.
That feeling of not being qualified.
Right. But Pastor Travis stresses this powerful truth. It's about doing what you can do and letting God do the rest. He suggests our problem often isn't inability, but maybe laziness or lethargy, not even doing the part we can do and sort of expecting God to do everything.
That's convicting.
It is. The call is to present yourself, do your part, however small it seems, and then trust him for the outcome, the miraculous part. Take that first step of willing obedience.
So first is presentation. What's the second step?
The second step is transformation. And he draws a very strong contrast here with reformation.
Okay, reformation versus transformation. What's the difference for him?
Reformation, he explains, is like the prison system trying to clean up the outside, change behaviors, often through willpower or external rules, but without fundamentally changing the inner person.
Surface level changes.
Sort of. Transformation, though, he compares to a caterpillar's metamorphosis into a butterfly. It's a literal internal change right from the core. It's not just superficial adjustments. It's a complete God-initiated overhaul of who you are from the inside out. A supernatural work, he emphasizes, not a self-help project.
And it's crucial that this isn't works-based salvation, right? He makes that distinction.
Very clearly. He contrasts it with traditions he sees as focusing on earning salvation through effort, cleaning oneself up first. Instead, he highlights the transforming power of the Holy Spirit working within the believer after salvation. That's the engine of change.
So the change comes from God, not to God.
That's the idea. He uses that analogy of military boot camp recruits are torn down, reshaped, built back up into something entirely new, a soldier. He suggests that when you truly present yourself to God, step one, the Holy Spirit begins this transformation, step
yeah.
two, and then you can truly prove and realize his good, acceptable, and perfect will. God makes you fit for his purpose.
Presentation leads to transformation, which allows us to prove the will of God. It all connects.
It does. It's a logical flow.
So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, our listener? Pastor Travis gives a pretty powerful call to action near the end, doesn't he?
He does. A sense of urgency.
Yeah, reminding us that we don't have a lot of time. He encourages us to spend the rest of our days actively fulfilling the will of God, not just chasing our own fleeting desires. It's a stark reminder of our limited time here.
And he closes with that very direct, very personal challenge. Would you please take time to ask the Lord?
Just ask.
Lord, I want to do your will. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. It's a profound invitation, really. Moving beyond just passive understanding to active engagement, active submission, to truly live out that GAP will, good, acceptable, and perfect.
That truly is a thought to mull over. What small step can you take this week to maybe just do what you can do? To present yourself in one small area and trust God for the transformation needed to align with his perfect will?
It's a great question to ponder. And if you found this deep dive insightful and want to hear more from Pastor Travis, remember that the full sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church are available.
Where can people find those?
They're on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Probably the easiest way is just to visit their website for all the information and links. That's faithwayfbc.com.
Faithwayfbc.com. Got it. Join us next time on The Deep Dives as we continue to cut through the noise and get to the heart of what matters.